Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Just as shameless of a money grab as Space Jam, but for significantly less money, it's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, Ruben Tomas. You can find him at Reddit Mavericks. How you doing, bud?
Doing good, man. We're recording very early because Don has a very important engagement thing going on later.
That sounds like I'm getting married, but I do appreciate you valuing my time. I have a gig in which I'll be playing brunch for everyone. So if you guys are hearing this now, and it is between noon and 3 o'clock, and you are near Richardson, I will be playing Lockwood Distillery Company. But nowhere near Richardson, but we're very happy that he's here. You can find him on Twitter at UltralightBeam. Tim Beamer, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. We might be making less money than Space Jam, Will, the new one. Mm-hmm. But I promise it won't be any less mediocre.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason that we wanted to do this podcast is just to really just talk about how terrible the new Space Jam movie is.
And then answer questions.
Of course. Because really there's not a whole lot of huge news. We're going to get the assistant coach that was the former head coach of Luka when he was playing, I think, in Spain?
No, Slovenian national team.
Slovenian national team. Okay, gotcha. Either way, he was on the Phoenix Suns, correct?
Yeah, for like a year. Point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they let him go. Anyways, so that's fun news. Dirk's finally on a cover of 2K. Luka is on a cover of 2K. That's great to have some Maverick representation on a game that will microtransact you to purchasing basically two games. So let's talk Space Jam first before we start. What did we like? Be nice. Let's say a nice thing about Space Jam first before we just give it an entire avalanche of harsh criticism.
So these are spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers head on out.
We're
going to try saying like end of spoilers because we're not going to have a timestamp of this.
Yeah. Well, I might read.
We might.
We'll okay. See. Anyway. So things I liked. I liked the Michael Jordan bit. At halftime,
Michael Jordan bit was great. It was predictable, but I thought, to be honest, considering Michael B. Jordan has done some 2K work, like he was like your partner in 2K at one point.
Yes,
like
yeah.
He's not a bad athlete, from what I gather. I thought that would be a great like, oh, are they going to do the Bill Murray thing, but with Michael B. Jordan? I thought that could be pretty funny. But that would have required effort and some modicum of cleverness, which is something that this movie was trying to avoid at any and all costs. This might be the most expensive, cheap movie I've ever seen. Like, there's so much of this that just was shoddy. There's so much of it that just seemed clunky. It just seemed like a machine that was not efficiently moving. In a lot of different respects. I'm sorry, I went with trying to say something nice. Tim, what did you like?
I liked that it gave us a moment where Bugs Bunny was Batman and LeBron was Robin. Yes. Because that leads to just a whole slew of either Kyrie, AD, or Dwayne Wade jokes that you can make about LeBron always being Robin.
That is very good.
Tweeted this out, but I feel like it was probably as bad as all of our parents thought the original Space Jam was when they took us to see it.
This one was
30 minutes longer and 30 minutes too long.
It was longer.
It was longer, and I feel like I don't know. I think at least the first Space Jam has a sense of rhythm. It's doesn't take itself too seriously. I think that's what really makes it work about it, is because they really lean into, I don't know. Last good thing I'll say about it, there is still some Looney Tunes magic that I really appreciate with just the scenes of the cartoon that I think are really fun. I still think Daffy is a funny character. I still like some of it. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like there was no sense of like, we need to make a good product here. I think the main goal here was like, we really need to tell people we have a new streaming service that has both the DC universe and Bugs Bunny in it.
Yeah.
It felt, I'm actually pretty impressed that they made a 2 hour long streaming service commercial. It's actually pretty remarkable. You think they would have just made a movie. it's God damn it. So let's talk. This might be one of the worst soundtracks of any movie I've heard. Like, I couldn't tell you a single song. I think that's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, guys, I was like 7 beers in by the end of this movie. So I thought it was okay at the end.
You might have enjoyed it by then. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what
I'm saying. I think I have a Letterboxd account, and I put the end of my review, whatever. I was like, it might be better if you get drunk or high, like while watching those, because it might be a little bit more enjoyable.
I just don't think it's even that entertaining. That's the issue, is that like, it would be different if this was just like off the rails silliness, and I would actually endorse it if that was the case. You know, that's the issue, is that it doesn't make any firm decisions. It's just like, let's just make Anthony Davis a Birdman with a bigger unibrow so LeBron can make the most... Obviously. It's not even a joke. It's just like comments. It's just comments. Like, I don't feel like any of his... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, from halftime on, from the Michael B. Jordan cameo on, they just got back to that Looney Tunes slapstick comedy that you were talking about earlier. And that's why I thought from halftime on was kind of enjoyable.
It took so long to get there,
Everything building up to the game. If you watch the original Space Jam, you get to the game really fast.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's where...
Yeah, this one you probably could have cut out that entire montage of Bugs going back to the serververse to get the characters back. And that's the 30, 40 minutes you could cut easily.
Yeah, but that was where they're using their IP stuff, though, bro. That's why they're...
That's exactly it. Yeah, it feels just like, look at all the different streaming options of this content that you may or may not like. Like, I don't know. I think that, like, what else... Space Jam the original is very much a nostalgia trip, and that's why everybody loves it. Also, I will say, to give Michael Jordan some credit, he makes some effort in his like expression of his character, even though he is playing himself, but he's talking, you know, at least in the beginning of that, when he's just bored with life, he's not happy being a baseball player, he's kind of feeling lost, and then like he gets this sense of purpose by, you know, at least there were some stakes that made sense. Like, hey, if we don't win this basketball game, Michael, we're going to be slaves forever. That's pretty high stakes, and somehow they made it goofy. And then like the Monstar element of it is a really fun way of incorporating other basketball talent in there. And they just happened to get guys that were really charismatic, like Charles Barkley and, you know, Muggsy Bogues, that like, you know, it's not the... Like, Charles Barkley can actually, like, sort of act. Like, he's at least, you know, makes an effort. Like, when he's having the existential crisis and he gets beaten, you know, at a pickup game.
Yeah, pickup game with kids.
Exactly. Like, there's you can see, like, the real elements of it. They really, I don't know, they at least execute the idea. This one is not, like, it's just, like, what's the moral of the story here? LeBron James really needs to ignore the fundamentals of basketball and just have fun with video games is kind of like the story. Like, what LeBron's really missing in his life is that there's too much basketball, and really he just needs to play video games with his son.
Have fun.
Or yeah, he just needs to have fun. And, but it's not like, okay, LeBron now is participating in Looney Tunes things. No, LeBron is just being near Looney Tunes, and then does a cool dunk that he's more than capable of doing as a basketball player. So it's not like the Michael Jordan like trying to play regular basketball and then being like, wait, I can just have a you know, stretchy arm and be a cartoon. Like there was some sort of payoff to that at least. And again, like to me, it's just basic movie making things. Like nothing needs to be an Oscar winner here. Like it's Space Jam. It's Bugs Bunny and LeBron James. At least have it be fun. The stakes seemed pretty brutal. Like Don Cheadle's doing the best he can with a character that doesn't make any sense. Here's this computer program that controls everything until it can't. And then
I feel like he could just take it over by himself. Like it wouldn't, like you didn't need LeBron for shit. He just couldn't.
Right.
He's an all-knowing AI.
He's an all-knowing AI. And the reason to challenge him to a basketball, like at least in Space Jam 1, there is no reason for them to challenge them at a basketball game aside from like, well, hey, they're really short. Let's say that we have a way to defend. Like, it's also that's probably the best joke in Space Jam, the original, is where he's just like, well, hey, you got to look in the rule book, and then just wrote a piece of paper. Yeah. You have to let us defend ourselves. It's the best joke on the entire thing because it doesn't make any sense. And they're just like, well, it is in the rule book. And they're just fucking morons.
Fuck it. Like,
and that's, mountain, that's the man. Whole, well, but mountain. It's also, but exactly. But that's the thing is that like, that's the joy of that, of Space Jam is like, you don't have to really dive too deep into it to really enjoy it. This one is just like the stakes are so serious, but then they have like this weird, like, so does this movie love video games or hate it? Or like, does it like basketball?
What's the moral?
Does it hate it? What is it really trying to do aside from just like watch LeBron do a sick dunk that you are more than capable of watching him do on that? You know, it's, why not have him like aside from like they dressed him up like a pirate once, that's like about as silly as it would go. And I wonder how much of this was just LeBron going like, I'm not gonna do this. I feel like he had some sort of like I have say in every decision here, and he wasn't gonna do anything that was too goofy. He will do the silly like I'm Robin jokes, or what did they do to my boy AD, considering they turn him into a bird or whatever. And then like, here's Dame Lillard. He can stop time once.
That power was like crazy. I was like, that should have been like a game changer. Like for
sure. I was like, that was broken, but then let's have Granny do something funny by doing
the Matrix.
Okay. Here's the thing.
No kid I know knows the fucking Matrix. Like,
Can we also talk about how funny it, like, one, it is funny, but probably inappropriate that Wile E. Coyote is in the Mad Max universe where there is just a bunch of murdering psychopaths that are killing themselves, suicidal psychopaths.
We die, we live again, yeah.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I love Mad Max Fury Road, but, like, what child's going to understand this reference that's, like, what's the Venn diagram
that was,
of
that was allowed to see that.
Like, right. Like, who... I'm pretty sure in that movie, someone gets their face ripped off with a chain. And so, like, I don't know, like, maybe that's probably not the crossover we need, or maybe a 1999 reference of The Matrix that has been referenced more in, like, let's put it this way. If the reference has been made in Shrek, we probably shouldn't continue doing it. Like, it's the exact same scene of Granny doing the kick and the, you know, camera rotates around them. It's just like, that's a bit that's been done, I think, every year on the hour. Like every year there's like, all right, did one of these movies make this reference, whether it was Shrek or whatever children's thing, I don't know. Anyways, so it's just like it was remarkably thrown together. And I mean, I know this is why people listen to us. We're the Dallas Mavericks fan cast. Well, what better way to show our Mavericks bias than to shit all over LeBron's projects? So
yeah, I just can't wait for the Space Jam 3 with Luka. That'll be great.
You know, at least he would probably have some fun with it and would not mind if someone wrote his line. Someone else wrote his lines for him.
Yeah,
like I don't know how much of LeBron is made out of like trees and cellulose, because the dude was wooden the entire fucking movie. My God.
And guys, man, like, don't, like, you know, if you like the movie, great. Like, we know it's just supposed to be for kids. Like, I was just bored and wanted to watch it kind of drunk.
I don't know. Like, I've watched a lot of kids' movies and had a great time. I think there's like Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs is a great movie. Like, is it an Oscar movie? No, but like, it's silly. It's fun. Like, play with it. Not this whole, like, this is just such a clear advertisement that just happens to be disguised as a movie that is, yeah. And I don't know why I would expect anything more from it, but I don't know. It's,
I also felt like it couldn't really make up its mind between trying to be a movie that was for kids now to see, or with all the references in it, just something that was for the people that saw this movie 25 years ago.
Who might have kids now? Like,
yeah.
Who might
have kids now? It couldn't make up its mind the entire time with, like, yeah, half those very adult references to, like, Mad Max and then the Night King being on the sideline cheering on Don Cheadle.
The Clockwork Orange guys were in there, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I also love that they were like, you know what's going to make this really sing? If we have someone dressed up that looks just enough like Mr. Smith or Agent Smith from The Matrix cheering on LeBron James. I think that was the cheapest, like, to me, you know, they had some of the CGI effects that were so clear, like, whoa, Game of Thrones or whatever. And then just like, then you have when they transport all of this IP there, then it just looks like a bunch of people cosplaying on the sidelines. It's this weird, like, it's, I don't know. It there was a weird disconnect here where I think what it is that this movie was clearly made from a focus group. Like, there was no director or writer here. This was just like, here's all the things we got to shove into this 2-hour product.
Hey, but King Kong and Iron Giant looked cool. So,
yeah, like, the CGI looks awesome. Yeah, like,
those guys look fucking amazing.
Shout out to the computer animators that likely worked, you know, blood, sweat, and tears for 80 hours a week to make that, you know, that monkey look good.
All right, let's see. You want to go and move on?
No, I need to talk about cinematography choices in this children's movie that I thought was lazy. I thought at the very least you could have gotten a... No, I'm kidding. I was like,
all right.
I don't know. Like, I feel we could have had more fun with this. I think that's the issue. I was like, I wanted this to be a more fun, silly, like, even if it was dumb, it should have at least been fun. And I felt like LeBron can't have fun. That's the whole thing. Was like, you take things too seriously, Dad. Okay. Well, that won't pay off ever.
Yeah.
You know, and I do want to say a shout out to Kenny _817 on Twitter, who went out and rented an entire movie theater and had let families come and just like watch the film, which is really cool. Like,
that's badass, awesome. Kenny.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. So, you know, cool. I'm hoping those kids like this movie way more than I did. I'm sure they did, because I think kids that, you know, they don't have any, you know, reference point of like what's a good movie that young anyway.
So, no. I will say, like, I mean, I, as much as I dislike this product, I really hope it brings joy to some people.
Yeah. All right, man, let's go and get into some questions.
Let's do it. That's fun.
Yeah, guys, we are speed rounding this. So, sorry. Mm-hmm. Wide Miss asks, we are in that some special time of the year, draft time. So a year later, how do you feel about not drafting Desmond Bane last year?
That feels like one of the main reasons that Donnie and Rick are gone.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were wanting either Bane or Sadiq Bey, or like they wanted it to sounded to me or it also sounded to me like Josh Green was a Harlebop decision.
Yeah. And yeah, I would definitely rather have had Desmond Bane, but the whole thing is to remember Rick doesn't like to play rookies. There's no, you know.
Yeah, Desmond Bane might have had the exact season Josh Green just had. So,
yeah,
exactly. It's kind of chicken or the egg. Did the rookie underperform because of Rick Carlisle, or
did Rick Carlisle develop?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's see. Jennifer asks, how excited are you to see Dirk and Luka in the cover on the cover of 2K?
It might make me consider buying it, but likely not.
Yeah, I know Squish is going to buy like both versions of this game, which is good for him. But
I'm surprised he didn't do, as soon as it was announced, I'm surprised he doesn't have like the pre-order that comes with like a 6-foot like cardboard cutout of Dirk.
Oh, I'm sure if they come out with that, he'll
probably absolutely. So many
of that. I'm excited, but I'm not as excited as Dirk was, and that just pure joy reaction that I could watch 100 times that he has.
I mean, I'm hoping to make this game good. This will be the first game that comes out with like the PS5, you know, next gen tech. So hopefully it's good. We'll see. I'm excited. I think it's good to finally have Mavs on video game covers, which I don't think has ever happened. So
to do a little behind the scenes insight, for those of you who don't know, the depth of Squish's love for 2K is almost as deep as Dirk's V-neck.
Yeah, I can't even talk to him about it. Because he will be like, why do you not like this game? And I'm like, because I fucking don't. Like, first of all, because I sucked ass at it. Second of all, I don't want to have to spend $30 to make my player better, like a capable player.
The VC scam, I just crazy, don't understand how. Well, and again, like, I don't expect to be the best player ever starting off in a game, but they're just like, hey, here's this highly drafted prospect that doesn't know how to run. Best of luck.
And it doesn't have a dribble, can't shoot, do nothing, bro. It's like a Mavs player that's not Luka on this team.
I do want to point out that Dirk's terribly deep V-neck is the shirt they made him wear for the motion capture thing.
That
wasn't his choice.
Oh, okay.
That's hilarious, because it's just like, why do we just really need to see his dolphin chest? Like, what detail are we looking to do?
Oh, I love
that
it.
That was a hairless chest. So, like, that is either wax or he is just like me and can grow a perfect beard but no chest hair.
So does that mean that he was that they made him like actually like do motion stuff, like do the like his moves and stuff like that? Because he's
I bet it was more like what they do with Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a part where he walks in and be like, hey, I really think you got a lot of potential, and you got a great shot, bro.
I wonder how many Mavs my players are going to be this year. Probably a lot. Let's see. Okay, Ali asks, Fear Factor, American Ninja Warrior, The Amazing Race, Hell's Kitchen, Survivor, Big Brother. Which reality TV show do you think you'd have the best chance of getting to the finals and winning? Your life literally depends on it.
Hell's Kitchen, no question.
Oh, give me Fear Factor. Oh, yeah, give me Fear Factor. I'll do that shit.
Yeah, I'll eat some bugs.
Yeah, I'll do it, bro. Fuck it, dude. Like, what about you, Tim?
I'll take Big Brother. Ooh. Just because I can both be a nice guy and an asshole. So.
Yes, you can.
You're used to hitting on people on camera.
Yes, and you know, also, Jesus, God damn it. And also, I've lived my entire life knowing the government was watching me 24/7, so I have no issue with people watching me 24/7.
Oh, does Big Brother creep you out? Well, what about these terms and conditions things that you've signed up for willingly? The real Fear Factor.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from Jesse. I think LeBron had a better performance than Don Cheadle in Space Jam.
I disagree. Dude, Don Cheadle circles around. He's doing his best with a character that makes no sense. I mean, on board with Cheadle.
I feel like when Cheadle showed up, I was like, okay, cool. Like, we have an actual actor here. Cool. Like, let's do it, you know? And I was like, cool, cool, cool. And then, like, towards the end, I was like, no, dude, this isn't it. Like,
I am reminded of... the guy that played Gomez in Adam's Family Values when he played M. Bison in Street Fighter. Like, there's a great, like, there's an awesome article about that movie, because that's one of the most like critically like pan movies of all times. The Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter movie.
Yeah.
But that dude is hamming it up 1,000. And the reason why is because like he was literally on his deathbed. Like, he was like suffering from cancer. Like, that whole movie, that's whole crazy. Shoot. But the reason he did it was because his kids absolutely love Street Fighter. They were so excited he was playing in Bison. So, like, really, that performance is kind of his love letter to his kids. Like it's like his last – and that's just knowing that is so sweet. I don't think the stakes are nearly that high for Don Cheadle. But I feel like this is definitely something where he's just like, I'm doing this for, like, my nieces and nephews. Like, I'm going to be super – like, he's just, like – super over the top, and I appreciated the effort that paid off to nothing, because then they turned him into a fucking, you know, CGI monster, whatever.
No one passed poor Don Cheadle the memo that no one's actually working for their check.
Hey, man, you could have just showed up.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from Charles. Under Jay Kidd's coaching, do the Mavs change the defensive scheme? I hope so. Or still stick with drop coverage?
I think the only thing that I am remotely excited about the Jason Kidd hire is that just somehow he gives off some of his transition tricks of the trade to Luka. If that is what makes this a faster pace offense, because if there's one thing that Jason Kidd did well, and the main reason he's in the Hall of Fame, is that dude rebounded and got the ball out, those outlet passes I hope that Luka doesn't have to get Tommy John surgery from fucking pitching the ball. So whipping the ball fast across half court. That's really the only thing I could be positive about the Jason Kidd hire is that maybe a transition offense is what happens.
I will say, I hope they do change their defensive scheme. Drop coverage fucking sucks. So I'd hope whoever is going to be in charge of that defense, cooks up something nice for us.
Yeah, I hope they change their defensive scheme to having one.
That'd be great. Okay, let's see. Next question comes from Caleb. Slovenia versus USA in Olympics. Who are you cheering for?
I'll go Slovenia, absolutely. I mean, the one player I was actually really excited to see on the Olympics just bailed. Kevin Love. Yeah. that's the thing is that I wanted to see he was the weird one on that roster. I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe this is a redemption thing. Maybe he's trying to get back, be a good player and establish his value. And then he's just like, no, screw it. It's all right. Well, that's uninspiring.
I think so. People have been mad at me for saying, oh, it's so cool that Nigeria beat USA, Australia beat USA. But just because whatever.
Who blocked KD?
Who did block KD? It was great.
My precious.
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa.
Precious Achiuwa. Anyone that's listened to this pod, I've been on that train pre-draft, and I am so mad that he is not a Dallas member.
Anyway, so let me just say, I think the USA doesn't deserve to really to go as far as they probably are going to go, because God, they have the talent, but they have no fucking chemistry, and they're missing a rebounder. Maybe not anymore. They're definitely missing playmaking. I think when your best playmaker at the moment is Draymond Green, who's a great playmaker, but still having an actual point guard on there would be nice. They don't deserve to go very far. If I saw Luka versus Slovenia versus the USA, I would go for Slovenia just because I think that story would be crazy. Because that means they're pretty far within the Olympic tournament. So
yeah, for a team that hasn't qualified in however long.
Ever.
Yeah.
Never.
Right.
Let's see. What do you got, Tim?
I would pull for Slovenia because there's no one I'm really attached to on this USA team.
Feel that.
But flat included.
Let's see. Sin Respect asks, this was last night. Fuck. Charlo versus Castano. Who do you got? I think that ended up being a tie, which is really fucking weird, but whatever. That was a
match. No idea.
Fighting match. Yeah. Spikeyo asks, what would be the official gaming console of the Mavs and why is it the PS5?
Well, because half of our players have it.
Yeah, basically. It seems like they love that fucking console. So,
it also looks suspiciously like our home court jerseys.
It does. It looks right there. If I just add some gold trim, it's
the exact same thing.
Okay. Jose Mata asks, do you collect any sports cards or do you like to collect things in particular? Also, how big an advocate are you for mental health?
I'll answer this in reverse. Huge advocate for mental health. You can always get help. So, any and everything. For someone that has suffered with depression and anxiety, all kinds of stuff, it's amazing. I've been seeing a therapist for, during the pandemic, ultimately, thanks to the Sims Foundation, which is a local nonprofit in Austin, Texas, that helps musicians and music industry folk get affordable therapy. That was always the reason I didn't get it, because I had just
never been insured, to be perfectly honest. And so shout out to the Sims Foundation. If there is some place that you want to donate money to in Austin for nonprofit, I will say the Sims Foundation 10 times over. But anyways, I don't really collect anything, actually. So I'll go ahead and shoot that over to you guys.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm answering backwards too. I'm a huge advocate for mental health. You know, in my profession, I'm a teacher, which I know, like, we get time off, but it's not really time off because I'm constantly have to like learn other things, like there's seminars I have to do and stuff like that. But I will say, like, I'm a big advocate of, like, especially when it comes to work, like knowing, hey, like, I need to fucking stop. Like, you know, like,
right.
I'm on a contract, right? So I'm paid from like 7:30 to 3:30 or whatever, right? Mm. So it's like, if I'm going doing stuff overtime, like, I'm not getting paid for it. And it took me really quickly to learn, especially last year with the pandemic, hey, like, I'm not going to work past like 4, you know, once 4 hits, like, I'm out of the fucking building. Like, that shit can wait till tomorrow. Like, you know, like, I'm very much about, like, you know, like, making sure my life is my life and not, you know, like a corporate, I don't know, like, school districts aren't really corporations, but, you know, like, it's not consumed by my job.
Yeah. A good work-life balance is very important for maintaining good mental health.
Yeah. And then I don't collect any sports cards. When I was little, I collected Pokemon cards. I actually got Pokemon cards banned from my elementary school because I would sell mine and kids would get mad because they thought I'd overcharge. And I was like, well, fuck you guys. Like, you guys don't know. Like, you know, and so, yeah.
I'm teaching market economics, bud.
I almost got into a fist fight when I was like in fourth grade. And they're like, no, okay, no more Pokemon cards. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Now I collect something way more expensive, fucking shoes. I have like 20 pairs of Jordan, Nike, some Adidas. yeah, that's what I collect now. I've obviously been tapering off because... I'm just tapering off because I don't know if you guys know or realize, but this will be my last podcast, at least for a week, because I'm expecting a child on Wednesday. Yes. So this
starting
is my
a
last
new collection.
Yeah. So this, yeah, yeah. So yeah, this is my last week for a little bit. So I won't be able to buy shoes for a little while until it's paid off, at least. Because, man, healthcare systems does not fucking help you out too much.
Nope.
Who's the kids? So, what about you, Tim?
Not a big collector of anything, but yes, take care of yourself. Everybody here, I can't stress the importance of it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Juan asks, anything and everything of all time? Thank you, dog. Anything or everything at all time? He was, I think, because in my question I said ask us anything and everything. Anything of all time is the Mavs. Everything of all time is Dirk. Thank you.
I'll second that since I don't understand the question.
I think you're just
yes, ditto.
All right, let's see. And actually those are all the questions.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for accommodating this speed run. We are very thankful for every one of our listeners.
Yes,
and y'all are fantastic. I unfortunately have to go, but you can follow Ruben at Reddit Mavericks. You can follow Tim at Ultralight Beam. You can follow all of us at the _ MFFLs. That is our Twitter account, but also you can go to MFFLs.com and read our articles. Shout out to all of our writers that have been doing just an amazing job. We're pumping out a lot of that off-season content for you guys. We greatly appreciate the questions. You can follow me at Don_Denim. If you are out and about in the DFW area, I will be playing Lockwood Distillery from noon to 3. I also will be playing Pouring Glory in Fort Worth next Sunday. So just a heads up on that. I mean, it's Fort Worth. It's not quite the Dallas area. So that's how it goes. Anyways, thank you guys so much. This has been the Hoops and Hepavisons podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys. I'll see you guys on the podcast in like 2 weeks, probably. We'll see.
All right. Take care, everybody.